shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies, we make fun of them, sometimes making fun of them while eating combos into a microphone. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by Cody Wolf.
It's so ice to see you guys.
Oh, Andy Wolf.
Hi.
And Jack Esterbrook.
Allow me to break ice.
I'm not going with this. I sat through the puns all for the last
in a movie
hour and
that is
did you just watch
minutes.
This morning?
I was watching this morning.
Okay. Okay. Ice puns. This film is.
I fell asleep last night watching it. So
the movie is 1997's Batman and Robin.
Even I'm appalled by the puns in this movie.
Oh my god!
It's all puns. It's all puns and monologues.
Yeah.
Everyone's
and head tilts.
There's
The famous Clooney head tilts. That's
a lot of that.
How he acts.
Well, Uma Thurman has quite a few in this too. Yeah. She seems to be delivering that.
Yeah.
Little backstory: I had never seen this film before. I hated Batman Forever when I saw it in the theater and had resisted seeing this film. And so 18 years after it came out, I finally watched Batman and Robin. And
I saw it once. I saw it once. That was it for me. Then I had to watch it now.
Yep.
I watched it in the theater.
I've seen it a few times. Jack and I watched it together, actually, like a couple years ago.
Because
we both. It was when we started doing this podcast, and we were like, you know, it was a really bad movie, is Batman and Robin. We had like the itch to watch it again, so I went out and bought it.
I feel like I'm the only one who hasn't seen the movie, so we're probably going to jump around a little bit, because the story, is pretty well
known. They developed the story right off the top.
I don't even know.
Scene one, a story is developed.
We just immediately...
They get right into the story development.
They do.
Yeah, just... We get a shot sequence of them, Batman and Robin, putting on their suits, and including a butt close-up.
I know. I was like, I hope that's Batgirl. I hope that's Batgirl, please.
No,
it wasn't.
Nope. She's not even...
And then you felt bad about
it.
I was like, bad.
Those aren't her nipples either.
Yeah. And... We see Batman get into what has to be the most impractical Batmobile ever. Yeah. And that says a lot for the movies. It's open topped.
Yeah.
Yep.
The engine
open top. I mean, what kind of Batmobile is this?
It's not very stealthy either. Things covered in Christmas tree lights. It looked like an electric razor
ridiculous.
Or something.
Even before that, this starts with the dumbest freaking line I've ever heard a movie start with.
Mm-hmm.
So chicks
the car.
That whole
I want
sequence.
A car.
And this, I want a car. Chicks ding the car.
This is exactly why Superman works alone.
Oh my god, are you freaking kidding me? Right there, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And we get a call from Commissioner Gordon. Batman, a new villain is frozen the antiquities wing. Which I'm like, a new villain?
Is he reading this off? Is he like reading off a cue card or something?
Yeah, like, why would a police guy, wouldn't be like, someone has frozen, you know, a new villain? Like, as if they're like keeping track of
like
villains.
A new villain. He calls himself Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
He's freezing things.
Yeah. Which,
as per his name and gimmick.
I'm still laughing at that, and George Clooney comes sliding into the museum and goes, "Hi, Freeze. I'm Batman."
I'm Batman.
Do they need to introduce each other? Like, do you normally introduce yourself to villains? You know?
You get the ice, I get the ice man.
Just so we're
like
all
the
clear
lamest,
on what's going on here.
That was like the lamest I'm Batman too ever. Like, you get some cool ones, like in the original
like
one.
Every
Batman Begins, Batman, you get a cool one. But this one's like, "Hi, Freeze. I'm Batman."
Everyone gets an I'm Batman. Even Adam West's I'm Batman is cooler than that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, he's not even trying.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze is trying to steal a giant diamond. He seems to have endless henchmen who are equipped like a hockey team. There also seem to be endless security guards. Because we see a whole bunch
batons.
Of frozen security guards, but like still more security
still
guards are like hitting at
They're
Mr.
They're just bludgeoning
Freeze.
Mr. Freeze with these rubber batons, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I love this. I love, and by love I mean hate.
And by hate,
one,
I mean
the
love.
One shot in the movie where I knew. Again, I saw this. I was 16 years old. I'll admit it. When I was 13 years old, I liked Batman and Robin. Batman Forever. When I was 13, I liked Batman Forever. So I was anxious to see this
movie. I didn't know there was going to be math, but go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was anxious to see this movie.
3 years later.
So when I was 16, I went to see this film. And the moment I realized that I regretted buying that ticket, and I hated the movie, was the moment in this scene where Batman and Robin land on their asses, click their heels, and ice skates pop out of the bottom of their suit. That's when I said to myself, "Dear God, this sucks." And for the rest of the movie, I was like, I sat through the whole movie. But it was awful. That was the moment where I said, dear God, what have I done? When they click their heels and the ice skates and pop ice skates out.
This whole scene is filled with just ridiculous.
Well, it's ridiculous because Batman says to Robin, he goes, hey, go get the diamond. And like, oh, Mr. Freeze's henchmen all have hockey sticks. So Robin grabs a hockey stick and I'm like, what's he going to do? Hockey puck the diamond? Yep, that's what he does. He skates around the museum like hitting like a hockey puck, right. Like he's being chased by an opposing team. I'm like, what? Why would you do this? Why wouldn't you just pick it up? Why would you hit it with a hockey stick?
This priceless diamond. Yep. Yeah. Hit it with a stick. Well, there's even, I mean, the wire work in this is like the worst
wire work
I've ever seen.
Whenever Robin jumps at anything, he like floats through the air. Like
this makes a Golden Harvest movie look like The Matrix.
He looks like an action figure like on a string or something.
You groan when you're watching this.
Later in this fight sequence, Robin pole vaults to get up to a second level of the museum for no reason. No reason. Doesn't benefit him or anyone else to do that. Just to show some terrible wire work?
Right, well, there's one even later on where Mr. Freeze does it with a jungle rope there.
Yeah.
He jumps off the floor and, like, does this...
It's a whole movie. There.
It's just the most whole ridiculous movie.
It's like any action scene you see, especially if Robin, whenever Robin jumps at anything,
Is this the scene where it happens where Robin crashes through a plate glass window on the Bat cycle and then the Batman Robin's logo sign. Is perfectly cut into the...
Yeah, it's another part of it.
And it's all goo. Well,
and they're like, again, it's like another part where it's like, you know, he sends his henchmen to kill them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just freaking freeze them and kill them when he had the gun on him?
I don't know.
You know?
He had
several opportunities to kill him, but
he does freeze Robin.
Well, finally, then...
Only to get Batman off his back.
So then Freeze gets into what appears to be a spaceship.
Yeah.
and goes into low orbit with Robin hanging off the side.
At this point, you got to realize this takes place in the same universe as the first Tim Burton Batman film.
Yeah. Right.
And that one was kind of ridiculous, but it was at least grounded in some kind of a reality, a believable universe. But this is just like, he's on a rocket ship, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I like how inside the rocket ship, all the dials and meters are like freezing over, but Robin's on the outside of it hanging on.
They're in low orbit, and he's just hanging on. Right. That's insane. Right.
He's got his bat air breather on. I don't know.
So Robin comes in. He rescues Batman.
He's been like frozen to the wall through handcuffs.
Instead of killing him and freezing him, he freezes his wrist.
Yep. Just freezes. Yeah, doesn't kill him. Yeah.
No.
He's from the Bond villain school of killing people.
Then he laughs. He says something about this rocket's going to blow up Gotham City or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the rocket's going to blow up in like 30 seconds and the shrapnel is going to kill everyone in Gotham or something. And then he jumps out of the ship and leaves Batman to die. And he grows wings. And he becomes this weird neon flying robot.
He's got Buzz Lightyear wings in his suit.
Yeah, he is Buzz Lightyear
in his suit.
Then Batman and Robin air surf down after him CG work that even by 97 standards is not okay.
Speaking of 97 standards, Chris O'Donnell yells a line that even in 1997 was dated.
Yeah.
Cowabunga.
Yeah.
You're about 7 years too late on that reference there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we soon meet Uma Thurman's character. By the way, there's no setup on anything.
You know
what I thought was also kind of lazy? Is the Uma Thurman character is very similar to Jim Carrey's character in Batman Forever in that she's a very green-themed super genius whose life sucks, and then one day she comes into contact with something that gives her superpowers, then all of a sudden she's really confident and strong, and then she confronts Bruce Wayne, and then as in her regular... Just exactly everything that Edward Nygma does is just what Uma Thurman does in this movie.
At least in the beginning of it.
Except the Riddler gets a little more character development.
He does.
He doesn't turn into the Riddler in his very first scene.
That's the first scene.
There's some...
And let's even talk about...
reason for it.
And this is one of the things I love about this movie is there is more people talking to themselves in this movie than maybe in the other 100-plus movies we've watched.
Yeah.
And even Uma Thurman's scientist character is doing notes to herself. And her notes to herself are pretty dramatic. I mean, at one point she's like talking about how like they're killing plants, and she's going against the thoughtless ravages of man. And I'm like, who's transcribing it? Like, you're talking to yourself. Who talks to themselves like this?
I don't know.
Every time she was on screen too, I had to remind myself that she was in Pulp Fiction and that she was good in that. Like, she's good in Pulp Fiction.
But keep in mind, I was looking at this yesterday. Uma Thurman's career, if you take out films she did with Quentin Tarantino, is pretty much a disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been nominated. She was nominated for Razzies before this movie. She's been nominated for Razzies after this movie. In fact, right after this movie, the next thing she did was The Avengers. The Marvel, the British TV show. Yeah, the Sean Connery Avengers movie. Yeah. And then her Wikipedia page describes the next stage of her career as hiatus. Even though she was working, it was basically like, essentially, the mainstream entertainment industry was like, yeah, I think you're good for a bit.
Well, right, we talked about this, how this kind of killed everybody's career.
This killed everybody's career. Yeah.
Alicia Silverstone disappeared.
Clooney was already
in the beginning of his career, though, so this is early enough in his career where he could kind of recover.
So is Alicia Silverstone.
Well, Schwarzenegger, Silverstone, O'Donnell, and Uma Thurman went into free fall after this movie.
Froze.
Well, yeah. I think Schwarzenegger's next movie after this one was End of Days, so.
Yeah. And then things kept getting worse.
And they said, shit, I could barely become a governor because.
Yeah.
Got to make some money somehow without the.
No, yeah.
The movies.
So Uma Thurman is working in a secret lab
in Peru or something, like in the jungle.
Yes.
For some reason, I never understood this. Why is Bane in this movie?
Well, because John Glover, who's a scientist who's building. In addition, he seems to have two wings. He seems to have a botany wing, and a super soldier wing, which are right next door to each other.
Somehow those are related. I don't know.
Her research has helped
I think the venom that they use to make Bane comes from plant extracts.
Right, that's probably.
And I think he fooled. I think the idea is he tricked Uma Thurman into creating a weapon with her botany instead of like medicines, and when she finds out about it, she just kind of decides.
But then we have to say we think, because this movie
doesn't explain it.
Rushing this to you so fast. Well, we've just met Uma Thurman, and all of this is happening.
You kind of go, why does she have control over Bane even?
Oh, that never really.
Because Bane's an idiot in this movie.
I think that.
I know, but.
Well, the movie seems. Like,
but why would it be.
I think the movie's implying that she's using her pheromones to control Bane. That? Though we never see that done.
Well, again, now, why is Bane in this movie? I mean, Bane is a relatively, comparatively, a new villain. Bane comes out of the 90s.
Right.
And Bane became very popular after his appearance in Batman the Animated Series, which when I was 12 years old, I was watching religiously. And Bane is in this movie. He doesn't fit in this colorful universe. And was he like forced on the director? Like, the fans want to see Bane. Put him in this movie. But I don't even know who Bane is. Put him in the movie. We'll make him a muscle man.
Yeah,
okay.
Plus he's not. Like, Bane is actually like an intelligent character in
every other
incarnation.
This is an offensive. The Bane character would never work for Poison Ivy ever.
They have alternate goals.
Yeah,
they come from completely different universes.
Yeah,
I don't know what Poison Ivy's goal was. Just to take the.
She wanted
to start again as Mother Nature.
Yeah,
which makes no sense that she would side with someone who freezes things.
Right.
Well, because he was going to destroy the planet
so that she with could freezing and then grow it.
She was going to be happy.
Adam and Evil.
I do like how, here's a real line delivered by Uma Thurman prior to becoming Poison Ivy. This is as the Pamela Isley character. She delivers, "You corrupted my research into some maniacal scheme for world domination." This is a real character. Like, who read this and thought, yeah, that's the approach we should take to this material? This is how people talk.
She's going to make sure he doesn't get a job even as a chemistry teacher in high school. So
that's right.
Oh.
But then she comes up with a bizarre plot to take over the world herself.
Well, then John Glover throws her
into like chemicals and she like melts into the ground or something.
The ground
splits open and it swallows her.
And there's
green light. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then she comes out and all of a sudden, she goes without saying, but she's really sexy and now all of a sudden she's Poison Ivy.
And now she's Poison Ivy, right? She's Poison Ivy / Mae West. This is the second movie we've watched where a character is doing
a blatant Mae West
impression
for
no laughs. Yeah. I mean, it does not work. For the second movie in a row, it doesn't work. And it goes on.
Why was it in Forever? Was
In Theodore Rex, there's a dinosaur who's doing a Mae West impression.
Oh, I thought
you were talking
about the Batman one. Okay.
No, last
you're probably
reviewed.
Thinking, why would a dinosaur be doing a Mae West impression? Right. It's a long story.
In the 90s, they assumed kids really were into Mae West.
Into Mae West. Mid-90s, kids couldn't stop talking about Mae West.
I will say, you know, of all the main cast, maybe not counting Alfred, I would say that probably Uma Thurman gives the best performance of the main cast.
Oh, Jack.
Dude, I mean comparatively.
Dude, no,
I mean comparatively. Really? Compared to to Schwarzenegger? To Clooney?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger is much better than
I was say, I like Schwarzenegger better than Uma Thurman.
No, Uma Thurman is doing...
I thought it was working.
It's not even cartoonish. If she was in a cartoon, they'd be like, we're going to need you to bring that down.
I thought that
bit.
She was at least owning the craziness of it. And it was like, you know what? Fuck it. This movie's dumb. I'm just going to go crazy.
Oh, my God.
Because in a movie like this, part of the reason why it fails is because everyone's playing it dead serious. They're trying. You know
no,
I, mean?
I no, think the problem is Cody and I were saying is everyone's in a different movie.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman is in some kind of crazy parody movie. George Clooney is in a much... I don't know what movie he's in. Alfred is in a very serious movie.
Absolutely. He's in like Doc Abbey.
He's in a very serious movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger is in a different movie from all of them. Like, everyone seems to have a different take on the material. And
there's radical tonal
like,
shifts in the film, too.
Yeah. Well, I was about to mention.
In visual cues and storyline-wise and tone. Like, sometimes, like you said, it's crazy and maniacal and colorful and bright. But then when we're in the mansion, it's dark and serious, and everything's like shot in very slick and simple ways, but effective ways. But then when we're out in the crazy world of Gotham, it's all tilted camera and crazy angles and quick cuts and bright colors and flashy lights and over the top acting. And I just think that in those, the movie fails on so many levels. But I think that of all of those levels, Uma's performance is lower on the list.
I will continue to debate you on that. As we meet Poison Ivy, we also learn Alfred seems to be having a 2-day heart attack. it's an ongoing heart attack that never seems to end. But then we later learn he's not having a heart attack. He has something called MacArthur syndrome.
MacGregor's syndrome,
which I'm like, okay, like why did we see him have a heart attack?
Which coincidentally is the disease that Mr. Freeze was researching when he got exposed in that creatively shot, well-edited security camera footage where he fell into a vat and became Mr. Freeze because his wife... He's in suspended animation. He froze her to try to cure her disease because she also has.
Well, you know, most security cameras have fantastic angles.
Oh, of course,
you got them all around your lab.
Good lens,
someone cutting them.
And you want to have some of them set for close-ups so that you can cut from wide shots.
Right? Yeah,
to
yeah definitely.
Like, you don't
right.
want to be cutting between two wide-shot security cameras.
Right.
I mean,
that's just
you want to get a close-up of his face as it comes out of there.
You don't want to break the axis.
Now, great audio. I can't remember. Batman Forever, Robin was introduced.
Yes.
Was he a whiny little bitch in that one?
Yes, he was.
He was, okay.
Yeah, this is a consistent performance.
Okay.
It is. Okay. And you know what I always wondered, too, is why was Batman... I think Batman Forever and Batman and Robin need to swap
they
titles.
They were actually supposed to be. I was reading
wouldn't
last
it be
night.
Batman and Robin when Robin was introduced?
They wanted to call this one Batman Forever because it was the fourth one.
Yeah.
Forever. And the other one was originally called Batman and Robin, but
which
they called that
sense.
One Batman Forever, so they couldn't call this one Batman Forever, so they called this one Batman Robin.
But why change it?
This is actually supposed to be like Batman. I can't remember what the other.
I know.
Like
I know.
Batman Triumph.
That was going to be part 5.
I think it was Batman.
Part 5 was going to be Batman Triumph.
No, I think that was what this one was supposed to be called.
Let's not even talk about Part 5.
They never made it.
I know.
Yeah,
that's not talking about.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Well, Joel Schumacher was pushing to make another one. So
I think he wanted to redeem himself, though. I get the sense.
I don't think he could have redeemed.
I don't think he could have either, but I think he wanted.
I mean, he was going. Obviously, they're going for the Batman show type feel.
But they got those cues wrong too.
You can't do that after you started the series the way they started.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It'd be like the series now if they all of a sudden went totally comical or
if you couldn't do
tilted angles, you know, bright color. I mean, you couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it.
That was a 90s thing, I think, though. They thought they could get away with this stuff.
And meanwhile, at this point, by the way, we should say Poison Ivy and Bane are now working together. And as Jack pointed out, best performance in the movie, Uma Thurman's like, come on, Bane, darling, we've got a plane to catch.
It works for what she's doing. It works for what she's doing.
Of Uma Thurman.
I love the picture.
Look, I'm telling you.
I love the picture later on, the
Photoshop picture.
I put that up on Twitter. It's hilarious.
Because Batman's like, I'm sure it's these two. No shit.
Yeah.
Bane's got his mask on.
Yeah.
He's just wearing a trench coat and a hat.
Yeah.
Like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a funny, I read a thing online that says, like, a great drinking game, and, like, rule number one in the drinking game is if you see Bane wearing a hat, you drink.
Like when he's driving the car, he's like her driver.
Yeah. He's her chauffeur at one point.
Why Bane is Bane is her in this movie? Chauffeur? Why is Bane? It's clear. I think that Bane was forced on them or something.
And then, okay, so now we get to, and Mr. Freeze, we get a goofy scene
Mr. White Christmas. Yeah. Sing! He's demanding all of his henchmen sing for some strange reason. And Vivica A. Fox is here for some reason.
For some reason, thrown in there. Like,
she's oh, they just throwing, I think, reason. Yeah, they just doing a lot of, like, Coolio.
Like,
Coolio,
in it one yeah. Yeah. Like, Coolio is some villain, like a biker gang that glows in the dark. I don't know.
I don't, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you got to tone that back the whole, okay, he's cold.
He's cold,
singing,
right.
You know, and he's got polar bear pajamas on, and
it's all dumb jokes.
It's all dumb jokes, and he runs on diamonds. Apparently,
but this I never understood. This is in the original series of Batman, the '60s series. Like Mr. Freeze's suit is somehow powered by diamonds, which never seemed to make any sense.
That might be in the
'60s
show. That is not in the comics at all.
No, I know. Like,
yeah,
I know.
That makes no sense.
But in the show, because I really liked the show, but the show was producing it as a comedy. So the show just kind of said, you know what, let's just go with it. It's fun, it's ridiculous, and that's fine. But as Andy said, this is a sequel to a darker Batman story.
Right.
And now you have a ridiculous guy in a bright neon robot suit powered somehow by diamonds. Diamonds aren't exactly a fuel source. They don't, like, deplete over time and, like, burn energy.
Yeah.
You know, unless he's using some kind of, like, a laser system. But even then,
well,
the diamond's not going
to... It gives him a reason to steal diamonds.
The diamonds, and why not just steal the diamonds to fund his research?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
That would make too much sense.
Well, he did need the big diamond to help his wife.
I don't know. Something about that. Right? He needed it like, for like laser refraction or something.
For the telescope or for the laser he was making.
But yeah.
That
yeah.
I understand more because
I thought it was his wife. And,
but he uses little ones inside his suit.
There's
so
a
he's
great,
clearly powering these.
They're like
these
a fuel source.
Somehow.
It makes
no
sense.
He's trying. He needs the diamonds to make the laser to... freeze the city to get ransom so he can make billions of dollars so he can
in a great scene that happens here in this movie where everything is monologues. Mr. Freeze has to explain this plan, but because there's never anyone in other scenes, a henchman just walks along with Mr. Freeze as he says that. Then right after Mr. Freeze says his plan, he's like, leave us.
Yeah, get out of here.
He was just there for exposition.
That's it. No reason.
No other point.
No reason whatsoever.
Great. Great. Smooth. And at this point, Alicia Silverstone arrives at Wayne Manor, stately Wayne Manor.
Yes.
And no
and Jack loved her acting.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
She's wooden. She's very... Well, no one
Speaking
answers the door. Can you...
Oh, sorry.
Ooh. The one thing I will say right now about Alicia Silverstone is everyone was criticizing, oh, she's fat. Why is Batgirl fat? And I was like, this is kind of like, what?
I don't get that. She looked... great to me.
Well,
I
think it came out. It came out of her. She gained. I was talking.
She had gained
before.
Weight yeah, between
gained,
movies.
They had
but
cut,
it wasn't horrific.
No,
they had to cut
great.
Scenes out of this movie or cut scenes out of the script because she like couldn't fit into the suit they molded for her.
Yeah,
so,
that's
kind of
a little bit
sad.
A little bit,
and
more
that got out, which is fine.
Well, she's still
18.
Good,
I mean.
She gained
but
the freshman 15,
the media,
you know?
At the time, the media was ripping her apart for that. I think that's where that comes from.
That seems like a real cheap shot to me.
There was. They were saying it back in the day, too.
Well, here's what I don't understand. She arrives at Wayne Manor. No one answers the door, so she starts climbing the wall? Like, what was happening there? Then Robin answers the door, and at no point is Robin like, why are you climbing our wall? And at no point is she explaining why she's climbing our wall. Everyone just
He's
treats
just like,
this
oh,
as,
I hope you hear it from me.
Yeah, I'm like, what's happening? And then, again, in a movie that has no breaks... and no character development. It's just like, I'm Alicia Silverstone. I'm Alfred's niece. I'm moving in. Okay. End of scene.
Yes.
And it happens at about that speed.
It does. It does. And then it's end catch by an awkward silence.
It is. It is.
Isn't it in that scene, there's something like she does, they ask her, what'd she say? Oh, no, I can't live here. Okay. It's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because she's like,
I don't know.
Bruce is like, I hope you'll be staying with us. And she's like, oh no, I couldn't put you out, but okay.
Yeah. Oh no, I can't put you out. Okay.
It's at best. Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
And then we find out Alfred is looking for his brother in India.
His brother's
also
another butler.
A butler
to like the Maharaja
the whole
or something.
Family is the butlers.
In a storyline that
because he's gonna
when I say it goes
disc,
nowhere, it goes
how's all Batman's diagrams.
I guess he wants him. I guess he wants.
Why is he going to expose Batman's secret?
I think he wants him to come and be Batman's.
He wants to come, but why is he sending him a disc that has all these diagrams and
you can fall into the hands of
plans and schematics and
By the end of the movie,
on what must be the brightest screen ever.
They're implying that Alfred built the Batmobile and is the one who created all this technology.
Yeah, I think. But here's my bigger point. From a screenwriting perspective,
that is true.
And he knew all his niece's measurements. That's pretty creepy too.
There's multiple scenes of Alfred looking for his brother in India, like searching online. This is never resolved. By the end of the movie, we still have no idea where his brother is. Why introduce that? Why
just
not?
Just to get the disc into Alicia Silverstone's hands so she can get the secrets.
Yeah, he could have just given the disc to Alicia Silverstone.
Well, she wasn't supposed to. That's funny because we're jumping ahead, but she wasn't supposed to look at it. But
he
did.
Was ready for
it. But
he
was ready for her when she did.
You know, with a complete, with a Max Headroom.
He's like, I figured you'd come down here. I built you a Batgirl suit. Yeah.
This brother storyline is bonkers.
Oh, 34B.
I took the liberty of raiding your panty drawer.
My favorite line
is... Wait. Can I ask one other question, too? If it was... Okay, so it's Alfred's sister is Alicia Silverstone's mother?
Yeah. Yes.
Was Alicia Silverstone's mom 70 years old when she had her?
She must have been.
I mean, how does that math work? That does not make sense. She is, like... I want to know more about that.
Well, because the picture is, what's that woman's? Is it Gloria Stewart or something? The woman in Titanic, the old woman in Titanic, is who the picture is of.
Oh,
so she must have been super old.
Okay,
still
Wow. All right, that says a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, because the picture looks like it's from the.
Because in '97 is when Titanic came out, isn't it? And she was that woman's like 80 something.
Yeah, she's 80 something. Alicia Silverstone is like 18 years old. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, we're hardly into this. We got so much more crazy shit.
All right, I know. We'll move forward to. I'm just gonna jump over a couple things. Pamela Isley wants Bruce Wayne to become a super environmentalist.
And then there's this other girlfriend character who's completely forgettable.
The Elle McPherson character.
Yeah, it was weird because usually the girlfriend character has something to do with the movie.
Nope,
and figures out who he is. And now this woman's just her last scene is where she's like, "Hey, we should get married someday," and then she's like gone from the movie.
You could cut Elle McPherson out, and this movie is no different. Nothing changes.
Nothing at all to do with it.
So now we end up in a scene that, if you aren't offended, something is wrong at this jungle dance, like fundraiser situation that's going on.
Or is it prostitution? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
They start taking bids on ladies.
It's very fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's like people swinging around on vines.
Like pink gorilla suits.
Yeah, it's troubling. This is really, really odd.
And this is where Poison Ivy reveals herself.
And Batman and Robin are attending I hate that. They're just VIP.
Well, again, that's another thing from the show. That would happen in the show.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did it happen in the show?
That could have happened on the show.
In the original 60s series, that would have happened. But again, the original 60s series was played for comedy.
Right.
They're having fun with it. Whereas this movie, again, is trying to take itself seriously in its story content, but then presenting it
Batman,
in a ridiculous way.
If Batman is that sort of in the open and visible, people
Hey guys, Batman's here.
Batman. If you've seen that clearly, people are going to be like, hey, isn't that Bruce Wayne
guy? Never leave the cave without it. He's got his Batman
card. If you made a $200 donation, you can have your picture taken with Robin. $400, you can have your picture taken with Batman. $600, both of them together. So make sure you're paying that. Yeah, I know. I mean, it really was so dumb. So dumb. To which Poison
Ivy
walks
in. Batman tilts his head just
in.
Like Bruce Wayne does.
he's always smirking. It's so strange. Poison Ivy then comes in, does an interpretive dance, and for no reason, and then just blows aphrodisiacs on the crowd. Just does a dance because I think she feels like doing a dance.
Because she can.
And then everyone starts bidding on her because they're pheromones, and then Batman and Robin get into a bidding war.
She looks really good.
Robin is bidding. She does look really good.
She does, but...
Isn't Robin bidding with Bruce Wayne's money because he's living off as a freeloader?
Right.
Yeah.
Which the dumbest thing, he pulls out a credit card.
A bad credit card.
Don't leave the cave without it.
Did you see the good until date on it though?
No.
It says forever. It says Batman forever.
We could spend an hour with questions. What's the APR on the Bat credit card?
God.
How does that work? I'd like to see the cardholder agreement on the Bat credit card.
And that's not to mention the fact that he has no pockets on that suit. He must have had it in his utility belt, I guess. So he has like a Bat credit card holder in his utility belt.
Go so far off the rails from the first one.
I never leave the cave without it.
So and meanwhile, far. You've got Uma Thurman like hamming it up in all of her scenes, like, "Hey boys, my garden needs tending."
and then Oscar-worthy, by
nuanced,
the way.
Nuanced.
I wonder what she's talking about there.
And then, Schwarzenegger crashes the party. Can sow?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger comes in. He's just all puns.
You need to plow my garden.
Jeez. He comes
poke
in.
Poke your hay with my pitchfork.
He steals the diamonds that Poison Ivy had stolen. He just takes them from Poison Ivy. And we get a series of weird shots of Poison Ivy just standing there smirking. And I'm like, oh, I bet somehow she got him.
Plan, yeah.
Nope. It was just a series of shots of Uma Thurman standing there smirking, looking weird like Mae West.
Yeah. Maybe she's coming up with ideas.
And she was going there for what reason? I can't even remember if she had a reason.
She wanted the
because she didn't want the diamonds.
Diamonds.
No, she didn't, did she?
She was going to steal the diamonds. She has some plan.
She's probably going to steal the diamonds to try to get to Bruce Wayne or something because she wanted Bruce Wayne.
I think she wanted to get Batman off her tail, so by using the pheromones, now Batman and Robin aren't going to hurt her because they want to have sex with her.
On her tail.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her, all right.
Garden.
Him on
I got it. Okay. Yeah, we got it. We got it. Well, yeah. You're good.
Let me be your garden.
You said,
yeah. Yeah. No, you're the hoe.
Wait, I'm the hoe.
Yeah.
You're the garden?
So Batman chases after Mr. Freeze and Robin. They do. Or a model of the Batmobile jumps off the finger of a giant statue.
Can I say what is
Gotham?
With scene is what like, is with the design of Gotham City here? It's
yeah,
all
it's
like
crazy.
It's all like gigantic statues
that you can just drive on. Like I don't know how they get on top of anything. I just don't know. It's like they drive.
Sense. They're driving on a building.
They
you're
get
right.
On top of a giant statue, and they're driving down its arm. Like how's it? How do they get up there?
It's like somebody saw the first Tim Burton Batman movie and then tried to mimic it, but they weren't very talented.
Yeah, I mean,
I want it
like
bigger.
Yeah.
More colors.
Yeah.
And drive on top of it.
Yeah.
This is so dumb.
And then Batman and Robin get into an argument. Like Batman's like, Robin, you're not ready.
Well, Batman
so he doesn't
won't
allow
Robin do
he doesn't allow Robin. Yeah, he doesn't allow Robin to jump into the action. Literally, he disables his motorcycle. And then Robin is left just like screaming,
which
on top
almost
of the
kills
building.
Him. Like that was worse and than it, him. Like almost you're jumping off the building because he could have just slid right off.
Could have slid off that and died.
He almost slid off the hand.
It makes no.
And then this later lends to the more tension between Batman and Robin, which I guess is why the film is called Batman and Robin. I guess is
the thing is they really didn't build that much though.
Not really.
There's
like
character.
Really quick little things. Because
it finally
it builds
to a boiling point, and then Batman's like, "Hey, trust me," and he's like, "Okay."
Well, it's not even really the boiling point. I mean, to me, that's like that. You didn't really feel like they were building it. Anything,
there's
really.
No character
you can see him trying.
There's just not even you. The only character who I think really has the only character I think they really do any work with is maybe Alfred.
Yeah,
yeah,
kind of. But and that's just even that's pretty awkward and seems to come and go. Mm-hmm. His
he's
medical
only, he's
condition.
He's the only one you care about, really.
Pretty it's much.
Quite,
yeah,
it's
pretty
quite,
much.
Well, I will
yeah.
say if I gave the film any compliment at all, and I like to try to find something good about every movie I see, and I usually am able to do it. Is I like the scene where Bruce Wayne finds out that Alfred is sick and we may not have Alfred anymore, and then he looks down the hallway and he sees
oh, the ghost.
A flashback. He's watching a flashback of him falling over and then Alfred picks him up. And
yeah.
I thought that was kind of touching and I thought that really worked. And that's the only compliment I'm really going to give this film. Honestly, is
which
that,
seems,
that sequence is pretty good.
That, which
it's very
is not,
minor.
It's not a terrible scene, but it fits so
nowhere.
Out of
it's,
place.
It's
in
out
this
of
film.
Place, exactly. Yeah. It should be in a darker Batman movie.
Yes.
Well, they did it in Batman Forever too, which I liked it better in Batman Forever.
Yeah,
but he sees like he remembers his father's funeral or whatever, and
yeah, and it works. So there. Even though that movie wasn't good, it did work. Yeah.
That's when I wasn't into it so much.
So they Batman
that's
and
coming up, right?
Well Batman well just to yeah, jump over yeah Batman yeah. catches Mr. Freeze. They put Mr. Freeze in Arkham Asylum, to which point Mr. Freeze walks into Arkham Asylum and says, as I'm sure real people really would, "My name is Freeze. Learn it well, because it will be the chilling sound of your doom."
Yes. And he says,
"Oh, hi, I'm Guard Smith. So yeah. Nice to meet you." Yeah. I get, you know, like.
And the guard,
I'm guard,
the guard,
Jesse Ventura.
The guard is Jesse Ventura, the body.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So they got to keep freezing this blue light that's shining down from the ceiling.
He's got to keep
cold.
He's got to keep cold. Yep.
It's cold.
It's a cold
light
of day.
Because when he crawls out of the cold beam, he starts to freak out, which is also from the show, the '60s show, when Mr. Freeze is outside of his cold zone. He starts to it's too hot. And he needs to return to the cold.
Yep. And meanwhile, Bane and Poison Ivy
bust him out.
Uma Thurman's like, Bane, baby, we need more real estate. You know, so they punch through a wall.
And who's inside here?
A fluorescent street gang?
Neon, yeah.
I don't know.
What is going on here? I don't even know what this is.
I think that was another holdover from Batman Forever, because he started doing that there, where there's like a street gang that was all like, had like glow.
They were like the clowns or something. Like, who, so it was supposed to be like somewhat tied to the Joker. Like this gang were called like the clowns
or something, and they glowed in the dark.
Oh, really? Okay.
But they're like,
that was very subtle. It was very subtle. They were like called the Clown Gang or something in the other movie in Batman Forever.
This is probably where Uma Thurman's Mae West hits its peak, when she's just like with this weird hamming fluorescent it up like gang, crazy. Like, hello yourself, you know. Come and get me if you can. This is lunacy that she actually delivered this.
I love it. I'm sorry.
She deserved a hiatus.
I love it. Come on.
I kind of thought
it's Batman and Robin.
I thought it was okay.
Oh my god. It fits in this stupid movie better than the serious stuff does.
It was a little sexy. It was a little like, ooh yeah. I was.
It was clear that she knew what she was making. You know, she was like, all right, this is crap. I'm just gonna be
further thing from sexy.
No, it's not annoying. Sexy. It's just annoying.
If she wasn't talking, it would be. But the thing she's saying and the accent, her voice is just like, end it.
My other favorite part is at one point, Bane throws one of these glow-in-the-dark street gang guys, and you hear like, slide whistles.
Best way to kill a stunt is a slide whistle.
Yeah. Yep.
Little Mickey Mousing there.
I'm like, oh, God. So now we cut to, as Cody and I were texting yesterday, it... 90s, what are you going to do? We're going to go to that generic Super Mario Brothers, Johnny Mnemonic, Judge Dredd, 90s outdoor set.
Yep, it's Future like, City.
Yeah, that's clearly built on a soundstage to see Alicia Silverstone in a bike racing scene.
Because what happens is that Bruce and Richard Dick, they get into an argument about Dick.
Richard Dick. I like that you first went like, you were like, I'm going to call him Richard because that's classy. And then you're like, no, wait, no one's going to know who that is.
Bruce and Dick get into an argument about Uma. And Bruce Wayne's like, Dick's like, I could help you stop Freeze. And Bruce is like, you almost got yourself killed out there. You're not good enough for this. That, oh, yeah, well, you just want Uma Thurman all to yourself. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they get into this little fight. And then is this the scene where he tells him, you know, Alfred's sick and he's dying and that kind of breaks
the argument? That's coming up.
Well, anyway, Bruce storms off, and then an angry Dick Grayson sees, kind of like out of the corner of his eye, he sees or hears something.
He's in the back cave.
Oh, that's right. He sees it on a monitor in the back cave.
He already caught her bringing a motorcycle back once.
At least Silverstone is escaping. So now he's like, you know what? I'm going to blow off some steam by figuring out where this girl is going. So he goes and does that.
Yeah.
And now this is what gets us to the scene where now she's somehow doing these illegal street races against Coolio, because of course it's the 90s, so you gotta have Coolio in the movie.
It's very Street Fighter,
I like the gangs, they have like some 16th century gangs with the powdered wigs, and...
All these gangs.
That was weird. What was that, like the Tory gang?
We're all one.
They're the Tories.
So we represent
the House of Lords.
So we get to skip. I don't even want to talk about this bike chase because it's embarrassing. It's just like a long race.
It's like a pod race scene. You just kind of get up and go to the bathroom.
It's just establishing that she knows how to ride a motorcycle.
I just don't understand.
She has no qualifications to be Batgirl.
Well, she knows jujitsu too. Judo, and we found that out. She can drive a motorcycle.
Right. So,
but I just don't understand the end of this race. Like, they're driving on a bridge, and then all of a sudden there's no bridge. Like, where were they going?
I know.
Like, they're all going towards this precipice.
Yeah, so everybody was just going to die?
Yeah. And then they're hanging by his foot.
And he says it?
And they cut the scene. They're at the mansion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, well, wait, how the hell did they get out of that one?
We got to touch on the pun. So this is where you hang out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And we have to talk about the scene.
She's like, oh.
The scene at the mansion.
Even I groaned.
That was a bad green screen there. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
With her hanging?
Down, yeah.
It's like the background's moving. That's a very totally like, different
Richard,
way, though.
Yeah. It's like Richard Kiel in Moonraker.
Oh, my God.
So they get back to the mansion, and we just cut to, again, this back mansion. And Alicia Silverstone just goes,
this is the best acting in the movie.
Since my parents died, I guess all the speed and danger helped take me out of myself, made all the pain go away. You wouldn't understand. No, I think we would. You pretty much put a dot on it right there. Yeah, I think, no, that's pretty on the nose. Way to have
They get back there, and she wants to take Alfred away from the servitude. And
yeah, because...
Alfred's, he hates it and whatever, and then she walks away, and this great acting by Clooney here, because he's like, well... Actually, Alfred's dying, and it cuts to him. He's like smiling. He's like,
he's
smiling throughout the whole thing.
You're right.
He's dying.
He smirks his way through this whole thing. When he goes, he says like, "Alfred is dying," and like Kristen was like, "I can't believe it." And cut back to Clooney. I know.
With a smile on your face.
End of scene. Yeah. End of scene.
It doesn't continue.
I blame Warner Brothers. I don't even blame... At this point, I have notes being like, I don't even blame Joel Schumacher.
No. I think Joel Schumacher was basically forced into what this was.
Yeah.
They're making a toy commercial and
things. Yeah.
Yeah. So... Poison Ivy now decides to break Mr. Freeze out of Arkham Asylum.
Yes, and this is where we get the most ridiculous pairing. Someone who wants to grow plants and take over the world with plants is going to team up with someone who wants to freeze the earth, which would kill plants.
And we also get what is my favorite gif from this movie of Bane running through Arkham Asylum with a shopping cart.
Guards bouncing off him.
It's the funniest thing in the world to watch.
Smash!
Why did it have to be a shopping cart?
Somewhere Tom Hardy is face
bombing. It's great later on when he set the bombs. He's like, bomb!
Yeah.
Bomb!
So Poison Ivy and Bane and Mr. Freeze are now in his cell with his costume. And then Poison Ivy reveals that they had no further plan to get out of there.
Nope.
And they're completely trapped.
Not really trapped. I mean, Bane just ran through the hallway with them bouncing. Why don't they just do it again?
I don't know.
Go back the other way. Reverse engines, man. Just go.
Shopping cart, yeah.
Do it.
So,
do it.
So then.
So
what do they do? Oh, aren't so Mr. Freeze.
Freezes pipes and says,
"All
don't
ways.
Forget to winterize your pipes."
They just.
Which I think is a sexual reference somehow, isn't it?
I feel
in
like
your
it
garden.
Was.
I'm going to winterize your pipes, Poison Ivy.
So then that causes a wall to explode.
Yep.
And everybody just jumps out. It appears to be like 20 stories high, and everyone just jumps out. I don't know. I was like, all right, I don't. It says a lot about this movie that's the least of my problems, is that three characters just jumped out of a 20-story window.
I don't even know if it's 20. It was like freaking 7
stories.
Well,
it's like a cliff, man.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. This is about the, and then right after this, Commissioner Gordon shows Batman and Robin security footage of Bane and Poison Ivy landing in this plane.
A nice close up.
And
oh, the plane,
a still photo of Bane wearing a trench coat
and a hat,
still wearing his Bane mask. And then
the plane says that at South American Airlines or something.
And Commissioner Gordon's like, yeah, right after the plane landed, they knocked out 10 security guards and stole a limo. I'm like, why are they in disguises then? Like that was probably, you know, that disguise wasn't going to last long.
They had security camera inside the cell. It was a tight shot of the three of them standing
there.
That's
funny. looking around, yeah.
Well, that's like, yeah, they do that a couple times where they have, like, security shots of stuff that is, like, just a shot from the movie.
Yeah.
That's a big pet peeve of mine in movies and television where they just say, hey, here's the security camera footage, and it's the exact same shot.
Yeah. They do it later on with Poison Ivy, too.
So now that Freeze is escaped, Batman and Robin are, like, they go over to Mr. Freeze's lair, which is this ice cream factory. Which apparently no one thought to go through before while Mr. Freeze was locked
in
up.
Jail,
only
yeah,
now right. people are interested in his lair.
Right.
But okay. And Batman magically
knows how to open
Mr. Freeze's secret pass, like, which in...
Somehow.
Did that make... That didn't make sense,
no.
right?
Okay. No, he just walks over. Here it is. And opens it up. And like, what?
Yeah. Like, why did he know how to do that? We don't know. Okay,
no.
We don't. Yeah, I was that no really bothered
his
me.
His password was probably just his wife's name. And,
yeah. Well, but he had to like move like a box of frozen food, and it was the first box he moved. He walked right to it, moved a box of frozen food, and hit it.
Yep.
So I'm assuming what Bruce Wayne built this frozen. I don't know.
He's Batman. He knows.
And then Freeze and Uma Thurman are also underneath, and they are. I don't know. There's some kind of. They cook up some kind of plan.
Freeze. He can't do anything because he needs diamonds. Because
So he's
can't
like,
fight,
he's so like, I can't fight Batman right, and Robin.
So she's gonna
I need
take
diamonds.
Care of him and
so he walks upstairs, immediately gets a few diamonds,
he walks
and is good
and
to go.
Turns on the giant lever,
yeah,
to turn on the frozen stuff, and it just instantly takes over the police force there.
So he could have just said to Poison Ivy, "Hey, stay here for a second. I gotta walk upstairs, get a couple diamonds. I'll be right back." Because in no less than 10 seconds, he's at full power. But he's like, I can't do it. I'm
exhausted. Meet you back at the lair. Meet you back at the...
You know what? You take that big tank with my wife in it. You're like, what, 110 pounds? You got that. You got it.
Right. Yeah, what was the plan at that point?
I don't know. That I didn't understand that either. So now you just get a bunch of different, like, Mr. Freeze is fighting the cops, and then Uma Thurman is and Bane are, they're alternating between Uma Thurman hamming it up and hitting on Batman and Robin, and Bane punching them.
Him, yeah, and like, nothing really happens.
Like, she's kind of playing on their jealousy.
Yeah.
And Batman seems to throw Robin into like a,
surely only a minor
tank of like Nickelodeon slime,
yeah,
I think. Well, like,
was that an operational ice cream factory?
I don't know.
Was that ice cream? Is that what that was?
Green? Yeah, I don't know.
I guess, but if I was around,
frozen
like,
yogurt?
Hey, how did you know what this was? This is run by super villains. Like, thanks for just throwing me in. Glad this wasn't acid. I think this is how the Joker's backstory was formed.
Say the same thing, yeah.
Great. And this is your go-to move, I guess. Throwing a guy in a vat and then throw him in the vat and ask questions later.
You okay?
Yeah. Is your skin all white? Oh, boy. And then Commissioner Gordon comes. Okay, so right before that, Poison Ivy and Bane just walk up a ladder with neither Batman or Robin coming after them. And Commissioner Gordon comes in and calls them out on it. And is like,
yeah.
Hey,
how'd he get away?
How'd they get away? She's still right upstairs. All they had to do was go up a ladder, and she's right there.
She spends the time to talk to her wife.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. Was her, like, she got away, but she's still in there. She's just in
now,
the
is
other
she
room.
Jealous
yeah.
of,
like, I get
she,
so confused by this.
Is she jealous of Mr. Freeze's, like cryogenically frozen wife? There's no real reason why she unplugs her.
That is the reason. She says it. She's like, this
she
is a one-woman
it.
Show or whatever.
Yeah, she says it.
I don't
why?
Do well
she's
with competition.
She's not, I mean, she's... She's frozen. She's not a threat, and she needs Mr. Freeze to help her, so why not just play along with his plan?
Because his whole plan is to cure his wife.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but he also wants to freeze Gotham City in the process.
She kills
her
wife, blames it on Batman, so he gets pissed off more. And
I guess. It seemed like a...
So Poison Ivy and her little Shop of Horrors like plant can take over the world.
Was that like one of the worst... It only had side-to-side movement.
Well, I was looking at it. It made me think, too. I'm like, did Warner Brothers release Little Shop of Horrors? Because somebody should be suing this movie. Right. Like, that's got to be infringing on some kind of copyright.
Roger
it's
Corman's pissed off.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Corman's pissed.
Yeah. So, and this is where it gets revealed that Freeze's wife and Alfred have the same disease.
Gregor syndrome.
And we do see... Poison Ivy unplug the cryogenic, you know, thing that's keeping Mr. Freeze's wife.
And she took the necklace, which means she got in there.
Yeah, she got into the tank somehow.
Right. She went
into
the tank.
The tank has been drained as well.
Yeah, this is going to prompt a lot of questions for things that happen at the end of the movie that are not answered.
Yeah.
So she goes back, tells Freeze that Batman killed his wife, so he gets pissed and he's going to know.
Now there will be a new Ice Age.
Yes. Here we get the Adam and Evil scene. There'll be a new Ice Age, and then she says, and after the Ice Age will come the Great Spring, and then there'll be no one left on Earth but you and I.
Yeah. Adam and Evil.
Yes.
Kind of like, even Schwarzenegger seems to struggle a little bit with that one. But they're like, cut, print, moving on. You know? And back
Robin at this point is like, I'm going out on my own.
I'm going solo.
I'm solo.
I want a Robin signal in the sky.
Yeah.
You just can't face it. That Ivy's in love with me and not you. That makes you burn the jealousy, doesn't it, Bruce?
And George Clooney's
Dick,
like,
you're acting like a dick.
Well,
that was great when later on he calls him a dick.
Yeah, he does.
That was actually kind of funny.
Listen, dick.
Yeah,
I did like that moment in that read.
Dick,
I was like, that's funny.
That was funny.
So Alfred brings in Alicia Silverstone and he's like, please get this DVD to my brother who
Wilfred.
I've been looking for all movie but haven't been able to locate it. It's for my brother only.
Whatever you do, don't watch it.
Bang! Alicia Silverstone's like, well, I guess I'll watch it.
So she's like, I'm family.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me go through all these passwords.
Oh. And then, okay, so she cracks like the password.
I like how it has, like...
Access granted.
I like how it has, like...
Why did it say that?
I access denied. Access denied.
It was access allowed.
Access granted.
Well, I like how the little thing has, like, a counter on it, too, like how many times you've tried a password. But apparently you get unlimited like tries. Times,
yeah.
So it's like, why is there even a counter?
I'm wondering if Alfred programmed in the sexy voice for if you do get access
I love,
to it.
I love her attempts at passwords, too. Like, England. Okay, so England is his password.
Oh, here's a question. Why does Alicia Silverstone not have a British accent if she was going to school
in England? I don't know. I thought
England
about that. I forgot about
was
that.
Born in England.
Yeah. She was born in England, right?
And not to mention the fact that the original Batgirl was Commissioner Gordon's daughter, not Alfred's daughter.
Right, right.
I thought about it for a second. I was like, whatever. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that did well. Yeah. this movie has so many problems that it was
almost she gets in and like bright light flashes on her face and it's all the Batman stuff.
It's all schematics and shit like we talked about earlier.
And then a Max Headroom version of Alfred explains everything to her.
Oh, sure. Yeah. She goes down to the Batcave and Alfred... by the way, Alfred is still alive, but a robot, like a computer-generated Alfred is like... I programmed my brain algorithms into the Bat computer. You could have just had it be actual Alfred. Right. He's still alive. Like, we didn't need to do it this stupid way.
He's right upstairs.
And
then
she
can talk
talking.
To it.
She's like, I want to help Batman and Robin. And he's like, I anticipated you would.
Yeah, what the fuck kind of computer is this?
How did he anticipate that his niece, who didn't even think would be living, coming to America living there.
Or knows nothing
that
about
is true.
Her.
He was totally surprised to see she
was
even there.
He was shocked
and he
to
has
see her show
no idea that she rides motorcycles and those judo or anything.
Unless, like, in the day, he was like, I'm going to make a Batgirl suit.
Maybe at first he thought maybe, like Bruce Wayne's girlfriend was going to be Batgirl, and then coincidentally his niece had the same size, so he said, fuck it, we'll make it you.
So he, in the computer algorithm he put in, he's like, okay, any sexy ladies who come down here, the answer is, I anticipated you would. Yep. It could have been Nicole Kidman from Batman Forever. Could have been anybody. Like, oh, I'm also ready for you.
Shoot me up, Uncle Alfred.
That is how it comes out. I laughed at that, too. Oh.
She was just using that Batgirl suit on, like, a blow-up doll or something. I happen to have a suit for you.
Yeah.
Hang on, I gotta clean it out a little bit.
Don't mind the stains.
So disturbing. And
like the
so
cat sprayed on it.
So she's now, we see her suit up as Batgirl, and she's busting out the door. I don't even know how she knows where Batman and Robin are.
But she does.
Well, for the rest of the movie, she just knows everything. She knows how to use, like, her... Oh, she has, like the ray gun.
The batarangs.
She knows about
how to use
the telescope.
Grappling hook.
And, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She knows how... She's totally comfortable. She's like, she uses a batarang better than Robin uses a batarang later in this film.
Girl power.
Yeah, that's right. And they don't know who she is at first. Like, seriously?
No, well, this line really bugged me. It made me laugh so hard.
They cut something.
Because
it's so awkward and weird. They cut
something. It's like, oh, and... And who are you? I'm Batgirl. Oh, something. He's like Bruce, what? It's me, Barbara. Right. It's like, clearly it's you, Barbara.
Who says he's someone? Well, you're going to go through training or something. No, he says something there.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to have to train you. And then Robin's like, that's not going to work. And Batman's like, you're probably right.
Well, yeah, but he says something like that. And she's like, Bruce, it's me, Barbara. Yeah. And they totally didn't fit the line. I mean, they cut something out there.
Yeah.
Which is
maybe because, like, no shit.
You're not going to
know who that is.
She has, like, sunglasses on. It's like.
I liked before that Batman and Robin show up to fight Poison Ivy, or Robin shows up to fight Poison Ivy, and she's like,
that's right, yeah.
Why don't you give me a kiss, little bird?
I forgot all about that, yeah.
Nuanced performance. And Robin kisses her, and then he's like, ha-ha, you thought I was kissing you? Guess what? I was wearing rubber lips.
Nick Cage.
And then she just pushes him into the water.
he takes his rubber lips off, and instead of, like, just, like, kissing him quick, she, like, pushes him away into the water.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's, like, caught in the water for, like, 10 minutes, too.
Well, what's great about that, too, is either...
The reverse shot?
Yeah, the reverse shot is so bad. And almost like they thought, wait, we have to show him again because he's been in there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, really,
so they have him come up and then go back down.
What really bugs me about it is, they don't cut away and then reverse shot in the next. They literally, in the same shot, he comes up and then it just reverses.
Right, and then 45
seconds later. And then
45
seconds later, they show the same shot.
Same shot.
Yeah. Except they complete the shot of him getting out of the water.
Oh, yep. It's so bad.
And then Batgirl comes busting in and she says, you're about to become compost. And there's kind of like a fight scene between her and Poison Ivy, but not
much of one.
Really? And it ends with Uma Thurman actually saying, curses.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then gets eaten by her own plant.
Well, she doesn't get eaten. She doesn't. Or, she's not
I think
dead.
She just gets tangled up. Yeah.
Right. She was already in that plant.
Because I feel like Uma Thurman was like, I don't want anybody punching me, even Alicia Silverstone. Right. Like, I feel like that was like an onset. Like they had to like figure some other way out where nobody punched Uma Thurman.
The only quote unquote important thing that happens in this scene is that she says to Batgirl that like she killed Mrs. Freeze. Like when
which of course is recorded in a close up.
Yeah. When I was unplugging Mrs. Freeze,
it was dynamically shot with a close up and a high quality camera.
Let me give you a witty pun, but first a little backstory. As I said to Mrs. Freeze while I was unplugging her, you know, okay. So now we find out that Freeze's plan is to freeze Gotham. And he's using this telescope
like a laser
to.
Transformed into a laser,
like an ice ray.
Yeah. Right.
Somehow he's using
diamonds.
Yeah. I don't know.
And we get to the part where Batman, Robin, and Batgirl just change their outfits at random to matching outfits? Like, are we there yet? Like at some point during the scene, there's a point where the bad guys escape and they're hot on their tail, but then when they arrive to the next location, they're wearing matching outfits.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting scene where they got changed?
No, that's what happens because they don't get changed. They just show up in different outfits and in different vehicles. They must have gone back.
Oh my God, those vehicles are so bad.
Like, well, and why were
they white?
Was it a bat skater or something?
Yeah. Why do they have
that? What circumstances could they need a bat skate / hovercraft? And by the way, Batgirl's just on a plain old
motorcycle.
She's on
a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So it's not like the conditions are so unsafe that you can't have
Robin's
cars.
And Robin's on one of those boats.
He's got like a hovercraft.
He's on the hovercraft boat. This is
bat skater looks like if you freaking like just shot it with a .22 and freaking shatter.
Well, these are the most impractical bat vehicles ever.
Another thing bugging me about this movie is how everything is designed over like practicality. Like, so that's why I like the newer Batman movies, because like the Batmobile is like a military vehicle.
Right.
And when he makes his own suit, he's got to order pieces from different places so it doesn't look suspicious. And this one, it's like obviously someone designed like bat like LED light things and fluorescent lights for like the Batcave, and it's like someone out there knows the secret.
The endless Batcave, that tunnel was like freaking. I think they went from the Batcave all the way to the museum underground.
It's still. I still think that Jason Voorhees' underground lair in the new Friday the 13th is bigger than the Batcave.
You think they're still more complex?
Well, they have the same. They had the same interior decorator, the same engineer designed them. I think they know each other.
So they get up, somehow they go up to the top of this telescope, and there's a bunch of fighting with, like, how does it work? Like, Batgirl and Robin are fighting with Bane, and then Batman is up there fighting with Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, because they fall off the telescope. They're supposed to unfreeze the mirrors.
Yes.
So they can realign Bruce Wayne's satellites so they can
divert
sunlight.
Use the sun to thaw out Gotham.
What did this remind, and I'm hoping everyone thought, what did this remind you guys of? What is Bruce Wayne's plan to use the telescopes to use sun power?
Die Another Day?
It's the villain's plan from Die Another Day, Bruce Wayne's plan. Yep.
The Icarus satellite.
This is the lesson of this. Don't have a plan where you're reflecting sunlight into a laser.
Yeah.
So they're unfreezing the mirrors, and then they get knocked off by they fall, they land safely, but then Bane's just where they happen to be.
Then the two doctors are hanging on the side of the telescope.
Yeah. I've got some stuff on those doctors later on.
You guys okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll save you another half hour.
Yeah, I know.
Well, my other favorite thing,
is swinging it all over the place, these guys hanging on it.
The other funny thing was that every time someone gets frozen, they're like, we have 11 minutes to unfreeze them.
Yes.
So luckily, Mr. Freeze froze the city at 11:49. So they knew the countdown was to midnight.
He was thinking of that. I got to make this math easy for everybody.
Because at 11:52, they're like, we have 8 minutes left. We got to.
I like
they kept showing the clock.
And then Batgirl and Robin are fighting Bane.
We'll zoom in on it.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, I'm like, well, I wonder how they're going to handle Bane, or there's going to have to be some kind of cool move, or it's like.
Nope.
No, they just unplug one of his rubber tubes.
Yeah. It's one of the
quickest, and he shrinks.
Getting rid of a villain I've ever seen.
It was
the
like,
tube. Their feet come up, kick it out, and he's like, he's done.
Anybody could have done this. Any beat cop at any point in the movie, as he's pushing a shopping cart through Arkham, or you would even think accidentally one of these might have popped out at some. It's just rubber tubing.
Yep.
Okay, and he's done.
And he shrinks. And he's done.
And now Batman has taken over. His Die Another Day plan is going. The scientists become quickly my favorite part of this movie because their commentary on the remainder of this scene is amazing. At one point, a scientist is like, Batman, you're doing it! I'm like, shut up. Like, okay.
I think, aren't they even like going, oh no, yay!
Yeah, yeah, they just are becoming running commentary. Mr. Freeze blows up the observatory, so the telescope starts falling down to the ground. And you hear one of the scientists go, "Whoa!"
I thought you did. Yeah. You do, don't you?
Yes, you do.
I thought so. I'm like, wait, did I just hear someone go, "Woo!"
I guess he's enjoying the ride to his death. I don't.
Yeah, I'm gonna die.
Well, it's like in the beginning. I forgot to say it, but when he freezes the dinosaur, it falls down. You hear a dinosaur roar.
Yeah.
Roar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is the scene too. I was telling Alex before we started. When I remember being a kid watching this, I was like 10 years old in the theater, and I remember vividly in this scene thinking, I am not liking this. I don't enjoy this movie. Like,
really?
This is bad. Yeah.
That young?
As a 10-year-old watching Batman and Robin.
It's remarkably...
I'm not enjoying this movie.
It's remarkably unfun. Yeah.
I remember being during the scene, I was like, this is ridiculous.
I don't even know who he's even targeted for, really.
I don't know. It certainly wasn't me.
I don't know.
Well, five minutes in, those ice skates, I was done.
It wasn't even for adults, even. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge financial failure.
And even I enjoyed the show. I mean, I was a kid watching.
Oh yeah, the
show
was amazing.
Yeah. It didn't target me because I thought it was, you know.
It's totally toned. And to wrap it up, well, that's
probably why in the commentary Joel Schumacher actually apologizes for this movie.
Does he really?
In his own commentary, he apologizes.
And
this movie's existence.
I do blame Joel Schumacher to a degree. Like, there are choices in this that clearly he was involved in, but the bigger concept and the bigger direction of this.
I think
he
wanted
to
do something. He wanted to do something more fun and light, like Batman Forever,
which is okay.
But I think the studio is more, they kind of went with that and were like, yeah, let's sell toys. So put Bane in it, put all these villains in it, make it colorful. And
yeah, it was way too colorful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was way too much.
And he didn't get a chance to.
Because I popped in Batman just.
Yeah, when you go to From Batman, which is all black
and
gray.
That was great, and it's black and, you know.
And that one blew me away. I saw that movie when I was 10, and that one blew me away. I was like, wow, and I still does. I watch it, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just to wrap it up, Robin and Batgirl reprogram a computer so that it.
I do like in that. I like in that scene too when he calls her little girl. He's like, "Oh, you're pretty smart, little girl," or something like that. I was like, "What?"
Sort of like groans. She's like, "Okay."
Like
whatever.
Robin's like a huge dick in this.
I know.
Movie.
She's like, "Yeah, it's 1997. Like, ladies can do things, you know." And so unfortunately, nobody surfs a tsunami, but we do get a laser.
They windsurfed earlier. So.
He surfed a laser.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically, the lesson: if the Die Another Day people had. That would have fit in well because they were all about diamonds too.
That's right.
They really should have met up with Mr. Freeze.
Is the velocity of these bat hooks has to be freaking incredible because
you
shoot this thing up a mountain and it goes through steel.
Yep.
And hooks on. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
While you're falling.
Jeez, I can see that go off in his belt.
And Robin's fails, but Batgirl's works.
Batgirl's works. Then they save it. Then they catch Freeze. They tell Freeze, haha, you thought your wife died? Guess what? She didn't die. And Poison Ivy, you told you your wife died? She told us that she killed your wife, but your wife's not dead.
No, I have
dead.
The video. Here's the video of her.
Everybody,
well shot, well edited, slick video of her saying when she
everybody
did it.
On board, actually, your wife's alive. Right, this is so nuts. Such a nutty way to end it. They could have just said, actually, your wife's alive. And, you know, we saved her. And can you save Alfred? And Mr. Freeze
just
like,
happens to have...
I have the antidote
right
with
here.
Me. Take two of these and call me in the morning. I still got a few left. I'm good. You know what, you guys? Leave a space for me at the improv.
Here, I think, is like an attempt to redeem Freeze. Like, Freeze is like, you know, realize the error of his ways. And
yeah, and now he's put in a cell with Poison Ivy. Sure, whatever.
Right.
Whatever at this point.
Even at that point, my wife was like, why is he in the same cell as Poison Ivy?
Like, I think it's like Poison Ivy getting punished.
I think that was really...
He's going to make Poison Ivy's life miserable as long as they're cellmates is the thing, because we now are sympathizing
reason,
with Mr. Freeze,
the only
but
reason
not
was,
Poison Ivy.
The only reason it was, I think it was really in there was because they show them giving the medication to Alfred, and they're like, well, we have to wait now.
And then they go to that scene. Then they go back to it. Right, yeah. So I think they just had to put it, something in there too.
They need to pad it out there.
Yeah.
And then everything. Alfred's fine. Everything's great.
And then we get the shot of them all running from the bat.
Yeah. Well, somebody like the final line in the movie is like, I think it's either Batgirl or no, it's Alfred says, "We are going to need a bigger cage."
Oh yes, yeah.
Guess what? Why? No, you don't. Yeah. Siri's dead. Alfred lives. Siri's dies.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah. Okay, so our wrong it's right question is, okay, I'm gonna, we are, well, spoiler on one of these, so one of these is already out there. I'm gonna list four names.
Okay.
Tell me which one of these did not appear in Batman and Robin.
But was going to?
No, well, oh, no, okay. But it's just, Jesse Ventura, the sitting U.S. Senator from Vermont, Batman creator Bob Kane's wife, or Paris Hilton's brother? Three of those four are people who actually appear in this movie.
Well, I already know one.
I know there are two.
I can eliminate one. So let's see. What are the four choices again?
I'm going to say the senator because there's a senator in Dark Knight. And yep. I think you're trying to trick us there. So it's
Jesse Ventura, U.S. Senator from Vermont, Batman creator Bob Kane's wife, and Paris Hilton's brother.
I'm going to say Paris Hilton's brother to be different.
Okay.
Was not in it.
Cody's going probably with the wrong, U.S. Senator from Vermont.
I know Jesse Ventura, obviously. I know the senator was in it because I saw his name in the credits. Bob Kane's wife is interesting. Yeah, Paris Hilton's brother. I don't say Bob Kane's wife.
Jack takes it.
Jack got it.
And so here's the interesting thing. U.S. Senator Patrick Leahy is in this, and Cody is also right. He is also in The Dark Knight. He is a big Batman fan, yeah. So he's in both movies. Probably the only actor to be in Batman and Robin and The Dark Knight. The worst and the best Batman movies. And Batman creator Bob Kane's wife plays Gossip Gertie.
Oh, okay.
That weird gossip columnist character.
Okay.
Yeah.
She actually had quite a bit in it.
She's a pretty sizable part, actually.
I want to say that, which I thought would have been interesting. At one point, there was a thing about Patrick Stewart as Mr. Freeze, which would have looked more like Mr. Freeze.
And would have certainly fit the Mr. Freeze that I was introduced to in Batman the Animated Series.
And
from the show and from the comics, I think he's always like taller and thinner and...
Except in the show. In the show, there were three Mr. Freezes, and only the second one was bald.
But
in the comics, there's just the one Mr. Freeze.
Well, the three actors playing the same characters.
But in the show or in the movie, Joel Schumacher, I don't know if it's him, the producers wanted someone bigger. He wanted him to be like big and.
In the original Batman TV series, there were three actors who played Mr. Freeze, but that's only because Mr. Freeze didn't appear, I think, long enough. But every single version of him spoke as a German accent. Right?
Because the Victor Freeze.
Because Victor Freeze. So yeah. I think that's why he wanted Schwarzenegger. Because now in the TV show.
No,
because
he also wanted. They were also thinking Stallone.
And, good point.
God. And Hulk Hogan was his third choice.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I will say this. Patrick Stewart would be a very interesting choice for Mr. Freeze in a good take on the material. He'd be interesting. We do have... I wasn't going to do Unloved It for this one.
Loved It, though.
Because most of the Loved It reviews on IMDb are people who are like, suck it, comic books, this is more fun. Or people who are like, it's so cheesy, but I love it. You know. And I was like, ugh, I'm not reading a bunch of those. Then
you find a good one?
There were a couple that I just had to share. Jack, maybe before I read these, what are the... how do we handle reading Love It reviews?
We always shout all caps, and we make sure that all pronunciation is faithfully adapted to speech.
Very good. The first review is from Robsda from Australia, who wrote this in 2001. I will first give you the title of Robsda's review for Batman and Robin. Jesus Christ, people! It really, really wasn't that bad at all! Come on! Give this movie a break, please! It was not that bad at all! It's not even in the bottom 100!
You're turning red. You're turning red. Breathe.
Nowhere near the bottom 100 have I... Ran out of space. That's the title.
That's the title?
That's the title of Robsda's review. Now the text of Robsda's review... from Australia. Well, I think I've summed pretty much everything up in my so-called one-line summary! So there you go. Batman and Robin wasn't really very good, but it wasn't really very bad at all. One word, average! I really enjoyed that one.
Okay.
Now, this next one, stick with me. I've got to read through the whole thing. It's maybe one of the greatest reviews we've ever had in the Loved It segment. It is from Seed of Kermode in the United Kingdom, written in 2009. I don't believe there's actually even a title on this review. Swedish television star Arnold Schwarzenhoffen is very decent as the Man of Ice, the best villain indeed. George Lazenby is very nice as the Man of Steel also. He's my favorite Batman ever.
What?
This movie is the most realistic of the series. I'm liking the way the Iceman is squirting his weapons over everyone. Very amusing. N plus ice equals nice. He is squirting it at Batman and Robert. They must escape. Tension. N plus ice equals nice. Joel Burton is a very nice director, and his vision is an impressive one. And Uma Thurman is very nice as Poison Dwarf, and so is Alicia Silverback. So is Alicia Silverback as the Boy Wonder's girlfriend, Catgirl. Much sexings indeed. N plus ice equals sexings. Anyway, the Man of Ice is escaping his mental home and begins squirting the people of Metropolis with his ice gun. Batman and Roger must fight the Man of Ice very urgently. I'm liking this. N plus ice equals nice. Also, lots of plants are threatening to eat the citizens, and a gang of underground maniacs joins forces with Poison Dwarf to encourage the plants. Spooky. Nice. This is the best incarnation for Batman and is a vast improvement over Tim Schumacher's original with Jack Nicholson. I need to point out, just to break this, Nicholson is spelled nickel.
I said
like a nickel, like I'm going to give you a nickel coin, son, like son in this guy. I am sorry, spelling wrong, Jack Nicksenson. I apologize for my spelling. I shall try to spell it one more time. Jack Nicholson. Oh, forget it. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he is the star of this great epic. I recommend it to all Batman fans to see. N plus ice equals nice. 10 stars.
Yeah.
Just an amazing review.
That is.
We'll do a quick, is it so bad it's good? Jack, we'll start with you.
I'm on the fence on that one, because when I first watched this movie, I was offended, right? So I was like, this is just so terrible that. And then when I saw it again a few years later, like on DVD.
It was such a strap-in for Jax.
I was like,
so bad it's good.
I was like, you know what? This movie is just so bad. I'm laughing my ass off. It's so bad it's good. But then I watched it again, and I was like, no, it sucks. So I think I'm going to maintain my original point, which is it is not so bad that it is good.
No, it's not so bad it's good. There's just too many... The stuff that's supposed to be so bad it's good, like the skates and all that, it just makes you moan. Yeah. It just makes you go, oh, God.
You're moaning?
No, I ain't in the way. Oh, God.
I think you're groaning.
I was groaning. Yeah. And actually, like a lot of times, actually, it was a weird thing when I was sitting there watching with like Lori, I actually was embarrassed watching it.
I
felt like this is embarrassing. So it's not.
It's like an embarrassing use of your time.
Yeah.
I used to think it was so bad it's good, but the more I watch it, the less I like it. So yeah. I'm going to say no, not anymore.
No, I'll never watch it again.
I don't. I'm going to say no. As somebody who watched it for the first time, I'm going to say overall no. There's stuff in it. There's like moments that are so bad they're good. Like, I mean, I could watch Bane pushing the shopping cart through the hallways of Arkham Asylum all day, but... Overall, it's also not short. Like it's
2 hours.
I
was surprised it was 2 hours and 4 minutes long.
It's a long watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna say no. It's pretty painful and tedious, and I actually don't recommend it as a so bad it's good movie. All right, let's get that one out of our system. Quick sum up, you can follow us on Twitter at Wind Up Films. You can follow us at Facebook. I'm very curious to see what Jack's pictures are going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope it's Bane in a hat.
There's going to be a lot of them, actually.
I want Bane in a hat so badly.
You got to put like all three asses up and you got to guess which one is which.
There you go. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
All three asses.
That's a real life game Andy Wolf is playing this morning as he watched it.
It's a mystery.
Our next movie coming up is going to be the new, this year's, I guess it came out last year, the Nicolas Cage movie Left Behind. The movie that was left behind, or your brain is left behind. Yeah. It is quite funny, and we will have
it's a all comedy?
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah, right. I viewed it as that. All right. And always popular guest host Tim Ferlito will be joining us for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And sweet. And just an update on our schedule. I know I'd previously said we were going to do Dune. I watched the first hour of Dune. It was painful. There were no laughs. It wasn't funny. So we are not doing Dune. I apologize. I hope nobody out there also sat through the beginning of Dune. It's one of the worst experiences I've ever had in front of a television set in my life.
It's so bad you can't make fun of it.
There was nothing even to make fun of. It hurt. It felt like homework.
It's pretty bad.
I don't know if we've ever come across, maybe once or twice before we've come across that, where we scrapped a movie because it was...
I watched a Nick Cage movie that we bagged because it just was like...
I know we've scrapped movies that were not bad enough before. That's kind of surprised us, right?
Yeah. I think we've had a few others. I feel bad because I was so sure that Dune was going to be good.
Oh, it's bad.
I don't want to subject anyone to it. Yeah, but bad and just like a, like, what's happening? Like, what? It was... I didn't laugh a single time over a course of an hour, which I thought was a pretty bad indicator for this show, and I didn't want to subject anyone else to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Left Behind coming up next. And you guys got anything else?
Nope.
I see you later. Goodbye.